सतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। नमस्ते टू एवरीवन, वेरी गुड इवनिंग टू ऑल ऑफ यू। आई एम डिलाइटेड टू बी हियर and thanks to Duke, everyone who has made this event possible for us to discuss happiness so that we can bring it more profoundly into our lives. It's really been a wonderful trip which I'm having here in the United States, and to see the interest of so many people in these topics, it's really so heartening. Today we are especially going to decode happiness, make a thorough study of what constitutes happiness. I have been offering Science of Happiness courses at different IITs. I think you know these institutions. They are the premier engineering institutions in India. And the IIT Delhi especially has a course every semester. And I can't tell you the level of interest. Everybody is so interested in knowing everything you can know about happiness. So that's pretty natural, obvious. I can tell you some very important observations on happiness from very important people all over the world. But we are going to go deep into the science of happiness after this. You know, Albert Schweitzer once said, happiness is nothing but good health and a bad memory. Obviously, good physical and mental health and ability to forget the negativities of our life constitute happiness. Mark Twain made a very interesting comment, you know. He was a famous humorist. He said, "My life is full of disasters, which never happened. The mind can create a hell out of heaven, a heaven out of hell." So we will be observing everything we can about the science of happiness and decoding some very important facts about happiness, which are, you know, they are actually in our experience. We just didn't observe them that way. Because Vedanta is very interesting. It is about existential analysis, which means analyzing the nature of your existence. Many times we are so busy with our thought, and I'm making this distinction between existence and thought, that we fail to see the fundamental nature of our existence. We are so busy with our worries and fears and our anger and our ego. We fail to see the more fundamental aspect of our existence, our awareness, our consciousness, our very being evades us in a sense. So it is very, very important to study the entire scale of happiness available to the human being. Very, very important to observe this. And for that, I will be going into, first of all, the levels of happiness available to us, to the human experience. We know very well we cannot be effective and productive and constructive unless we are happy within ourselves, isn't it? Unless we are happy within ourselves, you can't be your best version of yourself. Even our behavior will show that. So then how do we tap into the reserves of deep happiness within us? So for that, let us first go into the levels of happiness available to the human being. Whatever I'm drawing from ancient Indian scriptures, especially Yoga and Vedanta. These scriptures, you know, in many ways, they are quite, if you like, go to the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, for example, the entire scripture, you can put it on one A4 sheet, all the sutras. But if you go into the commentary on the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, you will find enormous information packed in an aphorism. That's how the sutras are. So there is a lot of knowledge packed into this. Only thing is, we will have to remove it slowly, step by step, and see how we can apply it in our everyday life. Yoga throws enormous insights on happiness. So this ladder of happiness, the levels of happiness which I am now going to describe, they are from yoga psychology. The first thing they will tell you is, the happiness born of our senses, that's the sense level of happiness. Now, they will tell us this is the very first rung of the ladder of happiness. So we all know these experiences, you know, good music, good sights and sounds and touch and the happiness which the senses bring us. The senses in Sanskrit are called the Jnanendriyas. They give us our cognitive experiences, in the sense they bring us information upon which we think, our senses, and they give us the sensate level of experience. So good sounds and sights and everything that we do with our senses is a most welcome way to experience this world. But if you closely observe this level of experience, you will see it is limited. The senses give us a limited form of experience, because, you know, let us take the sense of taste. Suppose somebody gets you a cheesecake. How much can you have it? You can have a piece, maybe a second piece. Just yesterday we had this, and then not more than that. There's a limitation to it. If you exceed that limit, you find the object itself repulsive. And the experience gives a diminishing marginal return. You know that term very well, I'm sure. Because it means when you invest of yourself fully into something, over a period of time, it will give you a limited return. The happiness at the sensate level is like that. You can't go beyond a certain point. If you single-mindedly chase pleasure, after some time you'll find nothing pleasing. I'm quoting from Somerset Maugham. Who met Raman Maharshi? Yes, he said this. It's the nature of this level of experience that you can't go beyond a certain point. Now, if I invest my entire understanding and experience of happiness at this level, I will obviously be disappointed. Because, you know, today it has been discovered very well, explained very well in modern psychology, that this level of experience puts you on the what is called the hedonic treadmill. It's a very interesting observation, you know, a very interesting phenomenon. Let me describe it here for you. What's a treadmill? It is meant to give you exercise, but it doesn't take you anywhere, does it? Yes, this level of experience also is like that. It's good as an exercise, teaches you very important lessons, but doesn't take you anywhere. The hedonic treadmill experience is like this. Now, suppose I know that I'm going to get a cheesecake today evening. The anticipation and the enthusiasm I have for the cheesecake, that constitutes a lot of this level of happiness. Once the cake is in front of me, and I tasted one piece, maybe a second piece. After that, I don't want it anymore. You know, my mind does not stand at that point. It does not get absorbed in that object. The mind will immediately jump to what next? What more is there for me to experience? So, absorption is impossible in a sensate experience. This is the hedonic treadmill observation. You don't get a samadhi out of a sense experience. You don't get a state of complete absorption and satiety, satisfaction out of a experience at the sense level. Now, this is everybody's experience. That is why you should observe it closely and see what is the problem. What is it that does not satisfy me in this experience? How is it that after I have experienced the object, I say, what next? What more is there? So So does that mean the object is limited or the experience itself has its limitations intrinsically? So the observation of modern psychology was that experience at this level indeed gives you very little pleasure, very little joy. But we make a much ado about it for the simple reason it's easily available. You see, our senses are all the time racing outward. It's easily available, so we make much out of it, but it is limited in its very nature and brings a diminishing marginal return. So then, if I want to optimize the happiness in my life, I will have to go further. I can't limit myself to this level of experience. That is why yoga actually prescribes a ladder of happiness. If you want to optimize happiness in your life, you can't maximize happiness experiences at the sensate level. You'll have to climb the ladder. What's the next rung of the ladder? This was the Vishayananda, what Thakur Sri Ramakrishna used to say, Vishayananda, the sense level of experience. The next rung of the ladder is the happiness you get from good thoughts, kind feelings, beautiful attitudes of mind, compassion, service-mindedness, love, devotion. It's the happiness born of thought and feeling. That's the next rung of the ladder. So you will see that this level of happiness, it's even better, longer lasting, not as fleeting as the sense experience. And the return is much better. You feel so good. You write a beautiful poem, for a few hours, you feel good. You do something creative, you feel so good. So this is the next rung of the ladder of happiness. That's not all. Then we have the third rung of the ladder. Deep level engagement into anything. It can be mathematics, it can be music, it can be a simple game of chess where flow is generated will give you greater happiness than merely cogitation or thinking. So the generation of flow. Flow is, you see, it's a wonderful phenomenon to study. I don't know if you have read the book Rapt and Zig Mihaly's entire research on this. It's wonderful. He quotes from the Patanjali Yoga Sutras also. So he says that any state where you are completely absorbed without effort and lose the sense of time, that is the state of flow. It's spontaneous. You're not putting too much effort. There's no stress and strain there. It's spontaneous. It just holds your mind, absorbs your mind. And it energizes you, in fact. After the event, you are energized and it leaves you with a lot of satisfaction. So the experience of flow is the next rung of the ladder. And it's a greater form of happiness. So you see, if you want higher and higher happiness, you have to climb the ladder of happiness and not try to optimize experiences along one rung, which means simply collecting more and more objects, trying to bring in more objects into our life in the attempt to increase our happiness doesn't work. I'm just giving you observations from modern psychology. This is not my theory. And the whole point is this, that you see, just trying to bring objects, because I have 4 cars, but my neighbor has 5. So I must have the 6th one. This doesn't work when it comes to happiness. You must learn to climb the ladder. Deeper thought, greater happiness. Experience of flow, very deep happiness. That's not all. There's the next rung of the ladder. Now, this rung of the ladder has to do with kindly acts and service-mindedness. You know, acts of kindness and compassion. will leave you refreshed within yourself. You help somebody somewhere. We don't know the experience of that person, but your heart will gladden beyond words. And if you make somebody sorrowful somewhere, do you think you can be happy? So this is the rung of service, community service, service to our fellow beings, service in the family. The joy of service, the joy of being helpful to another human being, the joy of exchanging vital energy through service, the joy of oneness, interconnectedness, interbeing, this is that joy. It's the next rung of the ladder of happiness. So whenever you feel a little morose, a little not so good, just go out and do something to make somebody happy. And I guarantee you, you will become happy. And it's an even longer lasting joy. We conducted this experiment with our IIT students. They have huge practicum. So there we made one group. We gave this experiment over a week. One group was asked, say it's group A, they were asked to spend their weekend in, well, enjoying themselves. Go to the movies, go and go to the restaurants, have what you want, do what you want. And then the group B was asked to do community service over the weekend. And this experiment was carried out for like 2 weekends. Then at the end of this, they were asked, how did they feel? Separately, they were interviewed. So the first group said, oh, we got bored. So spending everything on themselves, just enjoying themselves, we got bored. Well, it's okay, but it was boring finally. And then the second group, we asked them, how did you feel at the end of this experiment? They said, we felt really good. Because it brought meaning into our life. I helped somebody. I did some form of service. I taught poor kids. I did an outreach towards the gatekeeper of IIT. And I felt so good. I just feel happy within myself. I feel glad. See, this is the difference. So this is a level of happiness. You can get it only when you are able to contribute towards building another life. But again, that's not all. There's another rung of the ladder. This is the happiness you get by meditation, stillness, the utter purity of your soul when it comes out in meditation, in rapt attention, devotion, deep devotion. That is a really supra level of happiness. You can't put it into any other category. It's a kind of transcendental happiness. And the happiness that you get by what we call realization, when you are able to actually touch the consciousness of God, your own pure being, that's a totally different thing altogether. And this happiness results in ecstasy. You have transcended body and mind even. You are just wrapped, absorbed in God. So we have seen this in the lives of saints, yes? Of every culture, they have experienced this superlative degree of happiness. So you see, we have all these levels of happiness available to the human experience. And Sri Ramakrishna summarized this very beautifully by saying, you know, there are 3 kinds of happiness. Vishayananda, the happiness born of the senses. Then Bhajanananda, the happiness born of this flow, service, meditation, all that comes under Bhajanananda. And then he said, and then the highest form of happiness, which is Brahmananda, the happiness born of realization.